A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the angel had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord, the Magi had departed. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said to him, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child in order to destroy him." So Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that when the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod had died, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said to him, "Rise and take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So he rose and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go back there. Because he had been warned in a dream, he departed for the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord. Our gospel text today comes from the book of Matthew, and it's found only in the Jewish Gospel of Matthew. The Holy Family's flight into Egypt. So let me spend a few moments by way of introduction speaking about the historical value of the narrative which we have here in Matthew's Gospel. King Herod was a ruthless, violent, deranged man. He did a lot of good. He rebuilt the temple. He built the Masada, the great fortress of Masada. Many of your pilgrims have been to Masada. He did many things that way. An administrator, he was a very good administrator. But as a person, he was psychopathic. He had this intense thing that you see sometimes in people where he was jealous and completely unhinged about anybody who questioned him or who would challenge him. He was married 10 times. He had 10 wives, different times, but he had 10 wives. He even executed some of his family, some of his sons, when he thought they might be a threat to his power and his kingdom. He died rather painfully and very sadly, unreconciled. In anger and in bitterness, he died in the year 4 BC. He died in Jericho. Many of you have been to Jericho. He had a summer palace in Jericho. And he was so out of it, so far out there, that when he was dying, he left an order that when he would die, some of the royal officials were to be executed so that the whole country would be in mourning. That wasn't carried out in time. He died alone and very sadly and very angry. It's a kind of a very sad story about this powerful man, Herod the Great. Since he died in 4 BC, we are led to believe historically that Jesus was born about 6 BC or 5 BC. He was born before Herod died, since he appears in this narrative to be threatening the life of Jesus. So they go to Egypt. There is no reason, scholars tell us, there is no reason to suspect that the flight into Egypt was not anything but historically accurate. It was very common for Jewish people to seek refuge in Egypt. It wasn't far away, and there was a large community there of people who were Jewish. So the Holy Family would find some measure of familiarity or hospitality in Egypt. So we'll take that to be historically true. I read about six commentaries from the scholars on this, the meaning of the flight into Egypt, and they all agree that its meaning is beyond the historical narrative. The real meaning of this has not to do with the Holy Family going to Egypt. It has to do with each and every person on a journey, on a spiritual journey, led by light and darkness, will experience an Egyptian moment or time or passage in their lives. Therefore, it's a teaching about light and darkness. The Magi were in darkness and they were led by the light of a star. And after they had found Jesus and they were going back to their homeland, they were led by a dream of divine revelation to say, don't go back through Herod. Go back a different way, which they do. We have Joseph, who wasn't sure what to do, and the light of divine providence was given to him in his dreams. And he had four dreams, we'll remember that. So it's a tension between the light and darkness, an invitation to follow the light and not stay in a place of darkness. Therefore, all the commentaries will say it has a teaching that is far more profound and far more compelling than just the Holy Family going into Egypt. It has to do with our own spiritual lives and the manner in which each and every one of us in some way will experience having to go into Egypt. Perhaps it's some great failure in life, some place that caused you to stop, some place that led you away from what is familiar, what is comfortable. Some great failure, some great rejection in life, some misunderstanding, some emptiness or some poverty in life, where life loses its meaning, perhaps. Some loneliness, kind of a sadness, where life doesn't become enriched and doesn't feed me in life. And that is the journey into a foreign land, a place not familiar to us. A journey away from everything which is comfortable, which is renounced here in the human experience of a flight into a place we'll call Egypt. So it's a spiritual teaching that comes from this. Some emptiness, something that leads us away from the comfort place. Perhaps sometime I look inside myself and I find my worst person, my angry person, my selfish person, my controlling person. And it's a place of emptiness. It's a poverty experience. That is the flight into Egypt. It's into a foreign land, a place with which we are not familiar, a place where we will experience something new and something different. When we go into the land foreign to us, the place foreign to us, if we embrace it and we seek a deeper meaning in it, we will be transformed. If we reject it, and we're angry, and we're bitter, we feel victimized by it, then we will not be transformed. We will transmit that experience to others in anger or in bitterness or recrimination or in judgment. If we are not transformed, we will transmit the experience, the negative experience, the poverty will not be comfortable. And yet, every spiritual journey begins in darkness. We are called out of darkness into a place of light. And therefore, the experience of Egypt in the spiritual life is a place of darkness, it's a place of questioning, it's a place of wondering. And yes, it's a place where the invitation to come from darkness into light comes into focus. But one must embrace the Egyptian experience. We must belong to the darkness in order to see the light. Every spiritual journey begins that way. A genuine spiritual journey is a call from darkness into light. So wherever you are in your life, where you feel abandoned, you feel empty, you're unsuccessful, your dreams are not realized, you have experienced rejection or some difficulty or conflict in life, that's the Egyptian experience. And the Spirit of Light, calls us from this place of darkness to come into an experience of light. That's the meaning of the Holy Family going into a place of darkness and being called into a place of light. And it belongs to each and every one of us somewhere in the journey of life. Take a look at your life. I look back on my life and I have been through times of great darkness, a great emptiness, a wondering if I'm on the right track, if this is the right place for me. The searching, a deep uneasiness. It's something that touches the soul. It's not trivial and it's not superficial. It's something deep inside where you stop and you wonder, did I make a mistake? All my investment in life, all the things I believed in, was it correct? Was it worthwhile? All the sacrifices I made, for what? That's the experience of darkness in the flight into Egypt, says all the spiritual commentators. In order to understand this, and in order to belong to this, we have to search deep inside ourselves and do not reject the experience of darkness. Stand in the place of darkness and allow the light of divine providence, allow the light of Jesus Christ to lead you into a new place. When you experience this darkness, you can identify with people who are pained and struggling and empty, people who are impoverished. They became refugees in Egypt, teaching us about the sanctity and the beauty and the wonder of people who are refugees in our culture and in our communities. But somehow God is teaching us to see the presence of Jesus Christ in persons who are refugees. If we miss that, we'll miss the real meaning of the teaching of the flight into Egypt. Harl Kushner, in his marvelous book, How Good Do We Have to Be?, quotes Carl Rogers. Now, Carl Rogers is a famous American psychologist with Rollo May and Abraham Maslow. He founded what was called humanistic psychology, which I don't understand, is above my pay grade, but he's famous for this. And here is a quote that comes from Carl Rogers that the rabbi Kushner mentions in his book. It says, when he's entering a therapeutic encounter, this is the way he prepares himself. I let myself know that I am enough. Not perfect. Perfect would not be enough. There is nothing this person can say or do or feel that I can't feel in myself. I can be with him. I am enough. So when you're called by the Spirit into a place of darkness, it's an invitation to see the light. Something you cannot see in prosperity. You cannot see in success. You cannot see in all the accolades that the world will give you. You have to go to a place unfamiliar. You have to be called into a place of darkness, a place of insufficiency, a place that doesn't fulfill all your dreams and your hopes, and look for a new understanding of light, an understanding that the world cannot give you. You'll feel it in your soul that the Lord is calling you. And out of this experience, you will grow in compassion for others, in understanding of others. You'll withhold judgment on others because you yourself have known what it is to be called into darkness and summoned into light. Amen.